From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. I'll tell you what, man, I am absolutely lobbying for those extra long songs just like you do, Krim. I'm telling you, you can do so much over here. You could go up, you could like drop a deuce that would just absolutely clear out the room, feel refreshed and wonderful, come back and just fill up with some water and you're all good to go. More long songs, yes! And by the way, Krim, I refuse to believe that there's anyone except Anarchist that's a live body over in Theta, because it's a rumor. That's what I'm hearing. I mean, you know,
that's a scam.
It absolutely is. So, Anarchist, it's so fantastic of you to go ahead and keep all the bots company over there and pretend like we have an audience. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. You know what I'm saying? Boy, I feel like I'm like way out of practice. Let's see. We went ahead and had like no show for a while. Then we kind of had a show the other night. But not really. And then I had to go ahead and take some time off. Because why? Because we were doing strategy. Oh, look out, kids. Strategic fucking planning over at this particular place. And I mean, hey, was it very strategic?
How about new?
Well, let me explain something to you, right? Maybe on my side it was, because I'm an Excel spreadsheet wizard, right? Maybe I should have offloaded this shit to Neil. But I'm just saying, right? I built this fucking spreadsheet that was retarded. And I had to go ahead and do a presentation, all like, you know, prepared and stuff to help people understand the error of their choices through numbers. And it's such a fantastic thing to have that skill, right? So as I'm sitting through there, watching everybody else's presentations come along, you know, you got the operations person, you got the finance person, you got the, I don't know what other person it was, technology, that's who it was. And then we had the HR person sit there, right?
How dare you?
All I can say is when I'm sitting there, and this is from my strategic planning session diaries, man, when I'm watching the fucking HR presentation, I'm thinking I should have really become a human resources director because that was a fucking terrible vocational error on my side. What do you think, Carlos? Do you think we should have become a human resources director?
No.
But listen, seriously, I think we should have, because if you think about it, right? The human resources director, they got like lots of opinions about everything, right? It's sort of like an Amway pitch for products when they feel like they need to contribute to like remain relevant in the fucking conversation. And then, of course, they show up with these PowerPoint decks. Did LP show up with a PowerPoint deck?
No.
No, fuck that. I gave you spreadsheets. If you don't like it, fuck you. At any rate, so PowerPoint decks, because they got so much fucking time to go find obscure shit out, right? And it's filled with all kinds of bullshit inspirational quotes and like self-help snippets about corporate culture and inclusion, possibly plagiarized from some 19-year-old life coach off Instagram. I mean, is that a possibility? It's probably, you know what I'm saying? Right? But it's like focused on the urgent and key functions within the business, like, you know, shit that's really important, like refining corporate mission statements and like defining the culture of the fucking company. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
Manufacture outrage, because we need more of that shit to keep everybody inclusive. And you know, when I'm sitting there thinking about this, I'm like looking at this going, you know, the HR person in this group kind of like reminds me of like the culture guy from the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy series. You know what I'm saying there? Like everybody else had like real jobs. And, you know, like I got to go out and like create a banquet for this fucktard and teach him how to cook. Or I got to go over here and cut this guy's hair up, this fugly chud that I got to make look like, make him look like he's somewhat presentable. Or the other guy, the fashion dude, hey, I got to go get this guy some clothes that don't have like grease spots and cum stains on them. I mean, those are important things in this series. Meanwhile, what does the culture guy do?
He's like, hey, here's a mixtape that I created of my favorite songs and a bunch of Gwyneth Paltrow vag-scented candles to create mood and like a gentle fire hazard over in the corner. You know what I'm saying? Things like that. And you know they all secretly hated this person. It was very timely. You know why? Because apparently now we're so worried about triggering people with our language that now a harmful language trigger warning has been added to the U.S. Constitution on the National Archives website. How about that, kids? Apparently now the fucking U.S. Constitution is now offensive and there's a triggering warning. So the official National Archives website has added a trigger warning to the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights, which cautions that the documents contain harmful language. You know what I'm saying? Harmful fucking language.
How
over there.
How dare you?
So the National Archives Task Force insisted earlier this summer that the historical portrayal of the Founding Fathers has been too positive. It asked for new descriptions to be added to, quote, contextualize the records, and notes placed to forewarn audiences of content that may cause intense physiological and psychological symptoms. In fact, kids, the disclaimer reads, as part of the National Archives' institutional commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, it is now flagging potentially harmful content, which is defined as reflecting sexist, racist, ableist, misogynistic, misogynoir, and xenophobic opinions and attitudes, or being discriminatory towards or exclude diverse views on sexuality, gender, religion, and more. The group also demanded, as if that's not enough, the National Archives Rotunda building, which houses the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, be considered an example of structural racism. Never mind that you have the freedom to express that opinion in this structurally racist society, you assholes. I digress. It gets better. So we can't just go ahead and leave it there. A safe space was created and even requested so people who couldn't handle words such as elderly, handicapped, and illegal alien be given an area which they could escape from presumably suffering some kind of panic attack over here. So,
hey, what the fuck?
I'm just saying, after the conversation earlier, before the show even started, about LP receiving AARP literature, and I'm not even 50 yet, dude, I need a safe space because I'm feeling like a bit offended over here, okay?
How dare you?
That's right. I'm feeling like psychologically oppressed, like I could fucking lose my mind at any second over here, and I need a safe space. You know what I'm saying? Boy, it's been a busy fucking week, but you know what? I'll tell you what. I was able to actually make sure that I could go ahead and load my fucking time off, my, I don't know, 10 hours, with a lot of trash. And as I was wandering through the trash heap that is like modern television, so now I came across this show called Motel Makeover. I don't know why, but like I've fallen into Motel Makeover shows for some reason or other. I feel like I lost my man card somewhere along the way. And, you know, it's just kind of like, well, oh, what's this trash heap? Cool. And then I get sucked into shit, right? So this one show is all about these ladies that create these boutique motels. They go over and get these, like, I don't know, former, like, Days Inns or, you know, former, like, Motel Sixes. And they decide to turn them into these boutique motels that are geared towards women. So, you know, it's got shit like neon signs everywhere, those blush flesh tones. It's got that red-like district feel on the inside. And, of course, they get to charge like $500 per night with a 3-night minimum. And I'm asking myself, dude,
what the fuck?
Who the fuck goes to one of these places? Because I sure wouldn't. And let me just say this, kids. If anything, if the HBO series Cat House, which featured Dennis Hoff's Bunny Ranch, taught the viewers anything, it's that any room which costs $500 a night should at least include a happy ending of some kind and maybe a complimentary gift from the local coffee shop in the red light district. You know what I'm saying there? Something like that. Do we get any of that shit over in this June motel, huh?
How about new?
No. So they go ahead and buy this motel. They're ripping this shit apart over here. And they're like, hey, look at how beautiful this place is. All right? And as the camera pans the room gently across everything, you know, you've got those wonderful flesh tones on the wall and the neon glow, which is harsh on the skin, but sort of gives you that, like, stripper vibe, glitter, like body glitter feel, something like that. Well, what winds up happening is it's panning over there. They have this cute little bar cart filled with all the liquor and cocktail mixers, which check all the inclusiveness boxes, right? And circled, they're all circled around this sculpture of a fist thrusting up like the mass of a sinking ship that they're all desperately clinging to life for and relevance. You know what I'm saying? What happened? No, LP's here, man. Hey, Clay. Maybe you should go ahead and fix that. Either that or somebody's getting offended over in your office and maybe you should turn it up louder. I'm just saying, man. So as I start pausing the video to see if the, like, complimentary bottle of Astroglide is hanging out next to the Angostura Bitters and, like, the travel pack of wet wipes, somehow implying that there's, like, a happy ending on the way or something in the prison pocket over there. Let me tell you something, man. Yeah, you're back in civilization, Clay. Be patient. Which, by the way, how is it over in Louisiana right now, Clay? Good luck to you, my friend. Good luck to you. So, you know, it's got all of that stuff I'm looking for, and I don't see it because there's some fisting implied over here. And, you know, what I thought was missing is, you know how, like, most motels have, like, that binder full of menus from the local Greasy Spoons for, like, some quick food after hours and shit like that? I'm thinking the June should have kept it classy with, like, a capital K. And they could have done it had they just included, like, a cocktail recipe guide, you know, complete with, like, the after-hours numbers to all the local proctologists in the area, just in case cocktail creation time got a little bit too creative. You know what I'm saying there? That's exactly what I was thinking. And I'm thinking to myself, man, $500 a knife, holy fucking shit. I remember when I had to go take my friend back to college at one point, and we go over and we had, like, no fucking money, no credit cards, no nothing, you know, because it was before they went ahead and made sure you were an indentured debt slave right at the beginning of your college career. And I remember going to the fucking Motel 6, the only place that would take a cash payment without a deposit, fools that they are. But, you know, it's like you get what you pay for in that shitty motel for that $65 a night. Like, the remote was bolted down to the fucking the nightstand. The TV was bolted to the wall. I swear to God, dude, it was like a fucking prison where everything was bolted down, but kind of classy, right? But not really. Like, in the fucking bathroom, you got the flickering lights, so it's like you're in some kind of, like, slasher flick, and somebody's gonna fucking kill you. And, you know, if you look closely, you'll see the faint remains of the chalk outline of the recently shampooed carpet from when, like, you know, they finished cleaning up the murder scene earlier and shit like that. So I'm used to that. And $65 a night, man. Don't tell me you can't have romance and love inside of one of those hotels. Dude, that happens like every fucking other night of the week. I'm just saying, you know, people find romance out on the strip. And it's like, hey, you know what? This is already costing me a lot. Let's go over to the local Motel 6. So, shit, man. The fact that they're able to get these shitholes and turn them around into something is pretty fucking impressive. And somehow, as I'm sitting here getting ready for this crazy-ass fucking, like, strategic meeting that we talked about earlier, I had to go and get a haircut. And my haircut, the MR was kind enough to set it for, like, 7 o'clock. So I'm like, well, shit, 3 hours. What the fuck am I going to do to go ahead and keep my life interesting? I found myself, I don't know how this happened, I wound up wandering aimlessly around a fucking Hobby Lobby to kill time. Hey, don't judge. Don't fucking judge, all right?
How dare you?
It just so happened. I mean, it was a fucking accident, right? It was an accident. I wasn't prepared. I've wound up in there. And for those of you who don't know very much about Hobby Lobby, Hobby Lobby is this overtly Christian superstore, like, of fucking, you know, Michael's proportion, but, like, larger. And it was just the weirdest fucking experience because it's got a bit of a checkered past. Because, like, according to NPR, like, illegal antiquities from ancient Sumerian city over in, like, fucking Iraq were purchased from Iraqi looters and returned, and they had to pay, like, $3 million in fines. So they have, like, a dubious kind of a history about them. But I kind of am wandering through these fucking never-ending aisles in this place as I'm waiting to get my hair cut. Where's Gate 56? That kind of shit, right? And as I'm wandering through there, it's like a fucking archaeological dig through all things 4th of July, America, Christmas, Harvest, and fucking Whoville. I swear to God, man, you would almost swear that an internal memo was released canonizing Dr. Seuss and making him the fucking patron saint of Hobby Lobby. You know what I'm saying? So here I am, wandering down all these aisles, and I gotta go take a piss. So I go wander over to the freaking bathroom, and when I come out, I find myself caught inside the wedding aisle. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, wedding aisle, how conveniently placed, right next to the goddamn bathroom. I mean, because...
I mean, what the fuck?
That's what I do when I'm thinking, hey, wonderful things. I want a beautiful cake. I want to have, like, some great decorations. I want some wonderful florals. You know, if we could only have the wafting aroma of urine coming out and about, trickling down the fucking aisles, man, that would just kind of, like, bring it all together. You know what I'm saying? Something along that line. In fact, it brings it all together so well we need a nearly dead Ric Flair. There you go. See, now that brings it together because it blows the fuck out of your eardrums. So at any rate, I digress. I'm wandering down these aisles aimlessly, and I'm in the wedding craft aisle, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what I need to look for? I'm expecting, since I'm in this religious institution here, I'm expecting to find packs of 200 foreskins from slain Philistines, so that way grooms can replicate some of the same beautiful scenes of genocide performed by David, as captured in the Book of Samuel, chapter 18, verse 27, when asking for their fiancé's fiancé's father for their daughter's hand in marriage. You know what I'm saying? That would have been freaking epic. I mean, nothing says commitment and unrequited love for your future life quite like committing hate crimes and genocide against people of other religions. Am I right? I'm sorry, did I offend Normok? I'm sure I did. Oh, is he not here? Well, it was fun having you, Normok. Thanks for joining us. I mean, wouldn't it be like a perfect Hallmark-created card so eloquently capturing the moment? Or maybe like a made-for-Christmas special on the Hallmark Network starring Lori Loughlin? That would be fucking great. Damn, LP quoting the Bible in here. Dude, I told you I had some pre-show prep I had to take care of. I can't sit here and go ahead and report things that are factually inaccurate. So I figured I'd go ahead and do a little bit of quoting. Thank God for Google, because I didn't feel like looking it up. You know what I'm saying? But that being said, perhaps, I have some ideas now. Since we're talking about a craft store over here with an overtly religious tone. Practiced? I don't ever fucking practice. I just have a lot of stored up material. That's what I've got. It's all like stored up inside of me. It's got to explode out of me in one great big fucking explosion. Because you never know when I'll come back again, right? Hey, LP, that's not funny. Hey,
what the fuck?
All right, so perhaps instead of buying some, like, knowingly stolen Sumerian artifacts from Iraqi looters, at least allegedly according to AP, you know, NPR, maybe our superheroes of, like, corporate Christian values should have focused their goodwill efforts on, like, saving Noah's Ark from impound. What's that, LP? What are you talking about, Noah's Ark? Absolutely, kids, because those fucking heathens over in Britain have impounded Noah's Ark over inside the port. So a giant replica of Noah's Ark has been impounded and is also racking up fines of 500 sterling a day on Ipswich's front waterfront after the UK authority said it did not have the correct paperwork. So that, look at that. See? Look at that shit. How dare they, fucking heathens? So the 230-foot-long floating museum full of sculptures of biblical characters arrived in November 2019 after being towed across the North Sea from Netherlands. Let's just stop there for a minute. Dude, it's a fucking ark, okay? The Bible says it's going to go ahead and float. Why are you towing this shit across the goddamn... It should be able to float. I don't know. Just, like, make a sail or something. You know what I'm saying? Allegedly, the attraction has welcomed more than 15,000 visitors who had been due to leave, and it's been due to leave since March 2020, but it's been stuck for 18 months after the Maritime Coast Guard Agency said it was not seaworthy. Dude, let me just say that. We'll stop there for one second. It fucking survived being towed across the North Atlantic Sea, you dipshit!
I mean, what the fuck?
What the fuck do you mean it's not seaworthy, you ass clown? At any rate, I digress, man. So, apparently it's not seaworthy. Now, Mr. Peters has described his ark as a message of hope and an educational cultural celebration of the many of Bible's legendary stories. And so it got me to thinking, right? Hobby Lobby will go ahead and pay $3 million to buy a bunch of stolen artifacts in the name of God, but they won't go ahead and rescue this thing from the fucking port. So, wouldn't they be the perfect patron to fund an exhibit, since they're like all holy and shit like that, right? To fund an exhibit to share the message of hope through educational and cultural celebration from the Book of Joshua so patrons can relive the genocide of the Canaanites? I mean, that shit would be the greatest. And then, of course, what you got to think about is maybe it's a bit of a stretch. I got a better idea. How about they diversify their portfolio just a little bit? right? They're a craft store. They've got aromas and scents and shit like that. Hell, they could jump into this asphalt industry exactly like this Polish company that now creates flower-scented asphalt. I mean, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Nothing has been more offensive than the fucking smell of asphalt, right? I mean, asphalt. Well, yeah, nothing is more offensive. But a Polish construction firm, Budimix, and refiner of lot, Lotus, have created a floral-scented asphalt in a bid to improve working conditions from road builders. So, the new bitumen contains a mixture of natural and synthetic essential oils, most of which neutralize the typical smell of asphalt, while the remaining ones add a more pleasing scent to the compound. At times, one could smell the scent of flowers, which made work more pleasant, said a foreman for Budimix, as quoted in saying press release. So, kids, maybe what we've got to do is we've got to go ahead and refocus the energies of our friends over at Hobby Lobby into more suitable areas, right? Maybe go ahead and carry a few products to diversify the portfolio, like the foreskins of 200 Philistines in the aisle somewhere. Maybe they could go ahead and stop stealing and, you know, breaking artifacts and shit from ancient Sumerians and paying $3 million in fines, and maybe redirect that stuff towards rescuing the Ark replica that's out there. Or why don't they just go ahead and contribute to a worthwhile cause, floral aromas and essential oils to construction companies that help people huff on bitumen just a little bit more, you know. Perhaps go ahead and increase that cancer rate. Get shit going, because, God, we need a few more people dead on this face of this earth, right? And we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But I'll tell you what, I'm parched, and I got some whiskey over here I got to drink, because Jason's not drinking his share, and somebody's got to make up for it. So you know what? I'll take on that responsibility and shoulder that thing, because I want to do my part to make sure Jason's whiskey is consumed properly. So while I'm doing that, we're going to take a break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Hey, kids, it's LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. It's Joculation. Our circle of intimacy is back in back intact.
One of us, Google Gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google Gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
And as I understand it, right, Ron went ahead and attempted to pinch hit for LP last week.
How dare you?
So, Ron, I'm understanding that it was a little bit challenging. I can understand that, dude, since I do this every Friday night. You got to get more energy into it, right? Energy doesn't always come from whiskey. If you're Irish, it does. Right? So, you know, it's working for me. But, I mean, you know, when you do a lot of cousin fucking music on a Friday night, that sort of stuff is like for the middle of the week. I mean, you can't go ahead and be like, hey, check out this wonderful album that I've got from the cousin fucking playlist over here on Spotify. Let's go ahead and listen to this Deliverance Variation version 52 and off to the races. And, I mean, does that shit kind of work over there? I'm wondering, Carlos.
No.
Not on a Friday night. Not on a Friday night, right? So, next time. Yeah, I drank all the whiskey. Okay, I'll give you props for that one, Ron. But remember. No more cousin fucking music. It must be something lively, something punk. And you can't talk with your opinion kind of like this because, you know, you'll just sort of put people to sleep. You know what I'm saying? So you got to come to the show angry. You got to come to the show loaded up with some whiskey. You got to come to the show ready with some strong opinions. And you got to make sure that you can go ahead and actually, I don't know, keep somebody fucking awake and alive. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like modern dating. Uh-oh. Is LP got a segue happening over there? Why, of course, man. And, of course, we can't get into modern dating without a nearly dead Ric Flair. And, of course, you know, we got to go ahead and make sure to just kind of like wrap up or sort of like summarize, encapsulate, right, modern dating in four scenes, okay? This is what we're going to do. Are we all on the same page here, huh?
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So modern dating in four scenes, of course, you know, it always starts out with you got to have some standards, right? I mean, in fact, like every great profile on like Plenty of Fish, Tinder, Grindr, they all have that punch list of expectations to sort of like thin the herd, so to speak. Maybe they got some specific must-haves, you know what I'm saying? Things like that. Well, somebody's got some really great ideas, some very specific needs, and is sort of a poster child for this perfect thing, because on their Tinder profile, I'm sorry, on their Facebook Messenger app, they have this fantastic advertising for, like, a breeding partner with some very specific demands, and the list went viral. So what wound up happening is a woman who wanted children, she took to Facebook to search for a sperm donor and encouraged men who meet the criteria to apply for it via the Messenger app. The advert even states that successful applicants won't be paid for breeding sessions and that they must give up all potential rights. Okay? So that's where we started off.
I mean, what the fuck?
We can discuss whether or not this is a reasonable set of punch list items, but here we go. The applicant must be age 16 to 23. Never used any prescription or illicit drugs. Hey, Clay, you're out. Never used any prescription or illicit drugs and never drank except for communion. I guess that means everybody in the room's out. All right, cool. They must be blonde or light brown hair. That's not racist. Not overweight. And comes from a 75% plus American background, whatever the fuck that means. Agrees to forfeit all parental rights at the time of birth.
I mean, what the fuck?
No payment will be collected during any natural breeding sessions because she's not a whore. However, regular child support payments in the amount of 20% of your income will be expected within the first 5 months of birth. So, guys, get that. Get your credit cards out. Additionally, you'll remain completely anonymous throughout the child's 18 years of life, and you would be expected to maintain the same level of anonymity with anyone around you, okay?
How dare you?
And then, of course, please reach out to me through Messenger for more information. Thank you.
I mean, what the fuck?
So one Reddit user wrote, 20% of income for 18 plus years makes it the world's most expensive hooker. I mean, dude, let me say something, all right? If QVC and, like, Billy Mays have taught us anything, this has got to be the worst fucking QVC offer set I've ever seen, right? I mean, does the dead Billy Mays at least give anybody a complimentary ShamWow and some OxyClean as a parting gift? I'm just asking for a friend, you know what I'm saying there? But I digress, man. So you go through that, and then you get your second phase, where maybe after a few trolls and, like, the chirping of crickets, you feel like maybe it's time to get out there, get social, get a little physical interaction going on. Let's go ahead and see whether or not we can go ahead and find somebody who's my match. So maybe you go ahead and ring somebody up, or maybe you hit them up on a Tinder date, and you say to them, hey, how about you swing by my place? And they're like, sure, I'd like you to go ahead and maybe meet my mom sometime. Let me bring her ashes with me in an urn so that we can have her tableside. So apparently this woman who was posting on Reddit said she'd matched with a man on the dating app, then eventually decided to meet her. The pair decided on a barbecue at the woman's place, and when he arrived, the red flags went ahead and started. Yeah, oh my god, LP, where the fuck are you getting this stuff from? The best part is, when you actually have your search optimized to such a degree like I do for weird and fucked up stories, I'll tell you what, it finds you! And that's when you know you have succeeded, kids. At any rate, the first red flag was that the man arrived late and said that this was because he was circling the block, deciding on whether or not to go through with the date soon after he began regaling the woman with tales of his dysfunctional family. And he even brought his own food and didn't share it. So then, as if that wasn't strange enough, things took a stranger turn as he proceeded to take out a vial. Quote, when we sit down, he reaches into his pocket and pulls out a vial. It's about 2 inches tall with a cork in it. It's filled with black powder. He must have noticed me staring at it, flipping it, if he was about to, like, snort something strange or build some sand art. Oh, he said, referring to the vial, I'd like to introduce you to my mom.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, what in the fucking hell? So after the man finished his food, he left the confused woman's house. He went ahead and sent her a text message registering his interest in another meeting. My mom really liked you. I can't wait to see you again. Dude, this is something out of a fucking strange-ass slasher flick. So listen, kids. If he's already talking about dysfunctional fucked-up things, and he whips out a vial of his mom's ashes, you need to get him the fuck out of there.
You fuck, you fucking fuckers.
You know what I'm saying? PSA, you might want to go ahead and get a restraining order against him. I'm just
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit
I need to
down.
Talk to your cocaine team. Dude, I wasn't the one with it. But, you know, that's scene number two. We're doing four scenes of this. Now, let's imagine that maybe things didn't go this bad. Maybe things actually went in the right direction for a change. Things got great. We went ahead and turned on a little Barry White in that background, or maybe we listened to one of Orlov's old podcasts so you can get that sexy, silky voice going on in the background. Kind of set the mood when he's talking about, like, all kinds of esoteric shit and Earth ships and stuff like that. You know, maybe that with, like, a vag candle from, like, Gwyneth Paltrow sets the scene, potentially a fire hazard, but you're willing to risk it. Things start happening, and then you decide, dude, I got nothing to lose. Let's get experimentative, right? And if you remember, Chris Rock was talking about black men wanting to go ahead and get into a white woman, and his famous phrase was, just give me a crease, man. I don't care if it's an armpit or a fat roll. Give me a crease, man. I'll get in there. I bet you one thing he never thought of was, hey, you know that expander ring that you put inside of your fucking earlobe? How about I go ahead and fuck that hole that you went ahead and used as a stretcher hole for your earring?
I mean, what the fuck?
So this woman posted in Bitch Diaries on the social media site asking for advice from other women, and she claims her boyfriend decided to put his penis through the hole where she'd been stretching out her earlobes. Let me just say that again. He put his penis through the hole where she'd been stretching out his earlobes.
I mean, what the fuck?
How dare you?
Oh, my God. She wrote, me and my boyfriend were getting at it, and he tried putting his penis through my stretched ear for this, and this was the outcome. What can I tell the hospitals happened? Or is there anything I can do to treat this home? Her concerned post was backed up by before and after pictures of the stretched hole that looks a bit yellow and infected. I mean, there's even a definite difference in the size of her earlobe holes. Although, Facebook users still question how small her partner's appendage was. Because,
I mean, what the fuck?
Trolls have an opinion, man. You know how it is? Dude, I have heard of lots and lots of different things, but that I've never fucking heard of. And you think, hey, LP, man, this is getting pretty deep, pretty dark. How far down does this modern dating world go? Well, kids, you know, going ahead and having unprotected sex is a terrible fucking thing. It's a disrespect to your partner. You don't know. You could catch something from them. You could give something to them. One of the two. So you've got to go ahead and actually do something to show your partner that you care. And there's those moments where you're just unprepared. You haven't quite brought a Jimmy hat with you. So you got to make do and just kind of like reach over and grab some epoxy rosin like this man did and just do a do-it-yourself protection instead of a condom. So cops in India say a 25-year-old man was stricken in mid-carnal caper with an ex-girlfriend and his condition deteriorated because, quote, they used adhesive to avoid pregnancy.
I mean, what the fuck?
So this takes Gorilla Glue to a whole new fucking level that we haven't even really enjoyed yet, kids. Several witnesses said that Mirza, along with his former fiance, had gone to a hotel. There, they applied an epoxy adhesive to his private parts as they weren't carrying any protection because that's what I always do. Shop in the fucking hardware aisle to get my birth control devices.
I mean, what the fuck?
So the adhesive sealed off his penis. In addition, the twosome mixed the epoxy with some sort of whitener and inhaled the mixture for a kick.
I mean, what the fuck?
Unfortunately, he didn't quite make it because not only was he sitting there epoxying his dick shut so he couldn't get anything to shoot out of it, he was also huffing with this shit. So, I mean, hey, I always go to fucking Home Depot when I'm thinking, you know, I could use some birth control. You know what I'm saying there?
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I mean, who doesn't do that? You know what I'm saying?
How about new?
Sure, Epoxy 9, because it'll last for years. One application, you don't have to go ahead and actually grab anything else. It's like a one-time spend. Because I promise you, you won't live after the fucking first time. But it's okay. It'll work. It'll make sure that shit is sealed up tight. Tight as a tick. You'll never have a problem. You'll just be dead. Let me tell you, man, thank God for natural selection. That's one less idiot in the gene pool. You know what I'm saying? Awesome. I'll tell you what. I'm going to take a break now because, wow, it's a lot of work doing this shit after I've been out of doing this for a little while. So we'll have to go ahead and give LP a break for a minute. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. You know something, Qua? With the conversation in the room right now, I'm thinking you need to change your AMA to, like, dick pics. You know what I'm saying? Just like dick pics of the famous Hive accounts and that sort of stuff. And, you know, people can go ahead and pose questions to the dick pic instead of, like, the person that's actually attached to the dick that put the dick pic up in the first place. Maybe that would go ahead and actually get some life inside of that room is what I'm thinking. You know, I mean, it's just a bad idea because you know why? I'm a Sagittarius and I'm full of bad ideas and the charisma to pull them off. Just ask anybody that I know. Not necessarily that knows me. Just ask anybody I know. Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. We've got a little bit of an intimate circle over here that's getting even more intimate, I would imagine, at least with the conversation. Yeah, the question, though, is what's going to happen to the candidates that are there that do not have dicks to take dick pics of, right? I believe the correct term, based upon the training I received, was menstruators. Is that correct? No, because I was informed also that apparently men can menstruate, too. At least that's what was over on the latest Twitter thing from some expert in the field, and you know how it is. It's fucking confusing. You know what
how
I'm saying?
How dare you?
Hey, listen, man, call yourself what you want. I don't give a shit. I just don't care. I'm just fucking confused. That's all. Somebody please help me. Wow, man. So let's see, where are we at? See, at this point in the show, I think Ron had people asleep is what I remember. Either that or Ron was asleep because he was passed out, slumped over after drinking all the whiskey. See, Ron, you got to build up that liver because when you're going ahead and doing a Friday show like that, you can't be going ahead and just giving up right in the middle of it and just blaming liver failure as your excuse for failing to complete the show. Because does LP ever do that? I'm just wondering over here, right?
How about new?
No, man. LP's a lot of fun over here. One day he'll die. Probably all on the air, but is it going to be today?
No.
I'm thinking probably not. I'm thinking probably not. So, we talked about dating in four scenes, right? Now, guys, what we've got to do, especially with that first Tinder date thing going on, where was a woman looking for a sperm donor. Fellas, what we've got to do is we've got to be very discerning. We have to go ahead and actually get some training as far as what would be an appropriate person to date. Who is most likely to cheat on their husbands? That's what we need to know because why? Because men are pigs anyways. At least that's what Twitter's going ahead and saying. And I mean, generally speaking, we don't deny it whatsoever. But of course, what you've got to do in this day and age of uncertainty and weird shit, you've got to go ahead and know where to look for the cheaters. And guys, it's really simple. It's right in front of your face. A very scientific study from Illicit Encounters determined that women with smaller breasts, they're more likely to cheat on their husband. So the dating site for married people surveyed 100 of its female members to discover a few eye-opening facts about infidelity and the size of a woman's chest. Now, what would be helpful would be to for us to know would be, could we quantify that, LP? Could you tell me exactly what cup size we're looking for? So then that way we have a better idea of what cheaters there are out there. No problem. Illicit Encounters took that very thing to heart, and they're making sure to go ahead and help you be successful in choosing that mate that you can go out and get married with and go fuck other people on the side. So apparently, more than half, 52% of women that have had affairs, they have a bust size of between a AA cup and a C cup. Cheaters, all of you fucking cheaters. That's what it's saying. Look at that. So the moral of the story here is you need to go ahead and look for those really well-endowed women, because ultimately what winds up happening is they won't be cheaters. Now, husbands, according to the study, may also need to worry if their wife invests in some sexy lingerie. Remember, this is very scientific shit, okay? I went ahead and I went and put my sources out there, right? Illicit Encounters, very well-respected and reputable, you know, marriage hookup site kind of thing. Very respected, very reputable. Husbands may also need to worry if their wife invests in some sexy lingerie. This is because the data found that only 11% of sexy lingerie-wearing wives actually wear it for their husbands. But an enormous 73% have bought lingerie to impress their affair partner. Let me tell you something, dude. Yeah. Hey, don't be sitting there and like trying to dilute my sources, the veracity of my sources there, Bonehead. Listen, I think I'm the only show on the fucking air that actually takes the time to find sources of reputable information over here. In this weird fucked up news cycle that only I can really go ahead and help distill down into the things you need to know. You know what I'm saying? These are very important things. Exactly, Darsico. Very important. Very important. So, we now know what to look for, right? Now let's kind of go ahead and split it up a little bit here about what would happen in terms of how are we going to go ahead and find out about these cheaters? Well, you know, you've always heard that thing about bros before. Well, you know, that's a very derogatory term, LP. We won't go ahead and say that. But how on earth would a guy go ahead and find out about this stuff? Generally, after a guy has been laying a pipe on your girlfriend, sometimes he might give you a clue. Like, I don't know, leaving a note for you underneath the bathroom seat, the toilet seat, so that when you lift it up to go take a piss, you've at least got a note from the cheater that says, hey, guess what? I've been laying the pipe to your wife over here. So it's never nice to discover you've been cheating on, but it's definitely better than not knowing. So there's often signs like your partner's glued to their phone or things like that. Well, one dude was praised for raising the alarm after discovering that the woman he'd slept with already had a partner. Like he didn't fucking know going into this. Get the fuck out of here with this.
Fuck you, fuckers.
I didn't know. Yeah, the fuck you didn't. Get the fuck out of here with that. But I digress, right? And in order to ensure the other man knew, he hid the note in a really clever place. He stashed it underneath the toilet seat where the woman was unlikely to notice it. So, guys, it pays to lift the toilet seat when you're going to take a piss instead of pissing all over the toilet seat out of convenience. You know what I'm saying? You never know what you'll find underneath there. You might have somebody who's looking out for your best interest. And you know something? If she's got extra small boobs, you might want to go ahead and look there frequently. I'm just saying, not because I'm sitting here trying to go ahead and perpetuate a false rumor. These are facts based upon a scientific study. I'm just saying. I'm not creating the news. I'm just reporting it. So the man stashed this under the toilet seat, and it said, this chick just told me she has a boyfriend the morning after. Sorry to tell you like this, but I didn't want you to know. I'd want you to know if I was you. Sorry, bro, but she's great in bed. Dude, I was laying the pipe to her for like, I don't know, 4 weeks over here, and I just found out. Swear to God.
Fuck you fucking fuckers.
Do we fucking believe this dude for a second?
I mean, how about new?
But exactly, right, Moon? 2 points for honesty. All right, gold star. Bang, there you go. Right, so he's looking out for him like a gentleman after he's laid the pipe on her for a little bit. And then what winds up happening? Does a woman scorn do that for another woman? No. No, what would a woman scorn do? I don't know. She might go ahead and look at LP's newsfeed and then decide to go ahead and be creative and screw a nut onto her partner's dick while he's asleep, because the other idiots have used them as cock rings in the past, and we've learned that they might lose their penis. So something like that is probably what's going to wind up happening. So what do we got here? Doctors in the Fifth City Hospital tried to remove a nut from a man's penis but failed, according to the local news source. They were left with no other option than to go ahead and perform surgery to remove the metal object, right? So let me back up a second. A jealous wife allegedly screwed an engineering nut onto her husband's penis when she found out he'd been cheating on her, it emerged. The woman carried out the act while her husband slept away to, quote, avenge the betrayal. In a town in Ukraine where the horrific incident went ahead and fucking took place. The man's penis swelled up to the point where he was no longer able to remove the metal object, leaving him needing hospital treatment to get it off. Let's just stop right here for a second, man.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
I remember Sam Kinison talking about, hey, listen, man, I cheated on her, right? She didn't have to pack a loaded 38 into my fucking flight, you know, my carry-on going onto the plane. I mean, it was a little cheating, right? Well, this takes it to a point that's even further than that, man. Let me go ahead and, like, lube up a nuts, a freaking engineering screw and screw it down on your dick while you're asleep. So, he swelled up like that. So he tried, like, they were thinking first soapy water. That didn't work. So then, what do? Deputy Chief Cobra Eduardo, whatever the fuck his name is, they called in this guy that does his special use tools. You know, like an angle fucking grinder to cut this shit off of his dick to perform the removal. The rescuers were eventually able to cut the nut off by carefully slicing into the large nut on opposite sides so that it freaking came off. I love it. WD-40, man. Use that shit. I don't know, man. But the patient was under anesthetic the entire time and remained in the hospital with medical supervision. And somehow, some way, he still manages to have an operational and a functional dick, which is a fucking mystery to us. And deep inside this woman's heart, she's thinking to herself, dude, come on now.
Aww.
Can I just win one time? That's what she's thinking. Well, she probably should have taken tips from another cunning wife that was fed up with her husband's refusal to divorce her. So she decided to take some drastic actions by going ahead and applying poison to her vagina and have him go down on her. And it's,
I mean, what the fuck?
What the fuck are you doing? Poison the motherfucker while he's sitting there going ahead and going down on her. So she tried to kill him in a painful way. Unfortunately, though, it kind of backfired on her. So she tried to lure him into bed to perform oral sex, but then a strange smell started coming from her private parts and stopped him dead in her tracks. And I'm like, you think? You think? So the dutiful husband was so worried that he forced her to go to the hospital near her home. And the test revealed she had doused her genitals and her vagina with enough of the unnamed toxin to kill not only him, but her as well. So apparently this poison was being absorbed into the membranes of her vagina, the mucous membranes, and she almost killed herself. And this man that she so dutifully wanted to divorce and was out to go ahead and kill, by his love alone, saved her. Oh, my God. Fucking couple of the year over here. You know what I'm saying? So, kids, the moral of the story, gentlemen, if she's got small boobs between a C and double A cup, she's probably a cheater. Always check under the toilet seat. Make sure to check the vagina before you go ahead and dine, because you never know when someone's trying to kill you. And never go ahead and actually get your wife so angry that she'll take an engineering screw and screw it down on your dick while you're asleep. So, kids, those are the important rules to live by in life, all right?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Important life-saving advice. You'll only find it here on Joculation, because it's facts. It's truthiness. It's reliable sources of news and entertainment. Mostly news, I suppose, right? Not really. All right, kids. I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. You're listening to Joculation. It is, man. I've had a headache like you couldn't even begin to imagine. But is that going to go ahead and ruin the show tonight? No, of course not. Because why? Well, Ron did a terrible job last week, and we got to make up for it, right? So all the really important shit's already kind of gone down. We were talking about how to identify cheaters, especially cheaters of the female variety. And it was a very scientific study that went ahead and analyzed breast cup size to identify cheaters. 52% of women, guys, 52% of women, thank you, Normock, with cup sizes between AA and C, they're cheaters. Cheaters, cheaters, cheaters. My show is punishment for you not showing up. Wasn't punishing me, you know, Ron. I think you're punishing everybody else. Hold on. Let's do a Ron show. Should I go ahead and actually find that old playlist that was over here for just a second? Let's go back in time. Let's do the time warp again. I could do like a Ron song. Hold on a second. Ready, guys? Here we go.
My party life, traded in for a kid and a wife. No one being alone, I got a home. Instead of sex with whores, I wake you up, girl, when you snore. Instead of banging sluts, I wipe the baby's butt.
All right, I can't do that, Ron. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Friday night takes a special kind of fucked up to in order to go ahead and pull it off. And you know what? You got to make sure that you got no voice left after it's all said and done. And you got to make sure your newsfeed's pretty fucked up with some weird shit in it because, you know, people are expecting weird shit on a Friday night. On a Zero Fucks Friday, like, important shit. Recently, 2.8 tons of meth and fentanyl were seized in California, and I'm like, where is the fucking party? You know what I'm saying? Wow. Somebody's party just got fucked up really bad because they seized all the fentanyl, and the U.S. Customs and Border Protection announced the seizure online like, you know, there are a bunch of dead people now. There's some really, really angry people out there. But kids, listen, we need to have a PSA about freaking fentanyl and shit like that and how terrible a drug it is and all the horrible shit that can happen. Now, don't get me wrong. When I had my surgery, fentanyl was the fucking bee's knees because that shit, wow. But it's terrible because it's an opioid and you could get hooked on it. And I know what you're saying. We don't give a shit, LP. We're just trying to have a party. We're just trying to have some fun. And you're raining on our parade. Well, you know what? Here's the PSA. Well, after you're done overdosing on fentanyl, they got to flush that shit down the toilet. And you know what your greedy fucking selfishness is doing? I'll tell you what. Now fish are getting hooked on fucking crystal meth because humans are fucking flushing that shit down the toilet. We've got a whole new drug culture starting up. Pushers are now going to be dealing to fish. How about that shit, dude? So apparently marine life is consuming drugs that end up in wild in the waterways because crystal meth is getting flushed down the fucking toilets and they're suffering withdrawal symptoms when the substances are removed. You fucking selfish assholes. Those poor fish. So they're now drug addicts. They're hooked on this shit and it's changing their behavior. Drugs such as Prozac is making marine life braver, while drugs that cause withdrawal symptoms are when they're easy, their other drugs are causing withdrawal symptoms when they're removed from the waterways. And it was methamphetamines that were found commonly in freshwater rivers. And there's concerns about evolutionary and ecological consequences related to this. For instance, now they crave drugs more than foraging and fucking. So how about that, guys? We've done a great job making sure that the fish out there don't feel like fucking, so we can't eat any more of those fuckers because they're too hooked on crystal meth. So we need some fucking dealers out there to go ahead and preserve our ecosystem. So for 8 weeks, trout were isolated in a tank of water laced with methamphetamine. The fish were then transferred to a freshwater tank and checked for withdrawal symptoms. Every other day, they were offered a choice between fresh water or water with methamphetamine. The fish had become addicted, and they would seek out the drug-laced water. Check that shit out, man. Wow. So PSA, Stop flushing your shit down the fucking toilet and getting the fish hooked on it, man.
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
And if you think that that's pretty fucking bad, things can go bad to worse in a hurry. Really, LP? How is that possible? Well, when you have a bunch of sea snakes that think it's time to go ahead and go into mating season, apparently now they're attacking divers out there because they're sexually aroused and think that they're going to mate with the divers.
What the fuck?
And hey, anarchists, man, this is an Australian thing, so, I mean, it's in your fucked up country with all that weird shit that looks pretty and it'll kill you in 5 seconds. So researchers from 3 Australian universities working on the southern Great Barrier Reef found that olive sea snakes, particularly those fucking terrible males, repeatedly approached divers, coiled around fins and struck at camera reflections, made fast, jerky movements like they were using a shake weight, and were particularly active in the winter when they breed. The acts of aggression are likely because of a mistaken identity during sexual interactions. All right, hold on a second here, right? Anybody that we know in this audience, and we're not going to judge much, we want to go ahead and find out, is there anyone in this audience that when you got horned up and had this desperate need to go ahead and get laid, that you somehow mistook a snake for a human being? I'm just wondering. Or maybe you mistook, I don't know, a farm animal for a human being. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where it's a little
fuck bit, you fucking fuckers.
How could a fucking snake go, hey, look at that great big guy over there that would probably eat me. You know what? He looks hot. Let me fuck him. I'm a little confused by this. I'm not an evolutionary biologist by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, hey, are we an evolutionary?
How about new?
Dude, I'm a little confused how getting all horned up and getting sex nuts crazy is going to go ahead and make me sit there and, like, not notice that there's a different species in front of me. You know what I'm saying? Exactly, Bonehead. You bust out the shake weight. Because, holy fucking shit, man. But apparently, when you're over in Australia in that strange part of the world that anarchist is from, apparently things go a little bit weird over there, and the snakes apparently believe that the divers look super sexy in those rubber suits, and perhaps they're just one great big snake that they're getting ready to go ahead and fucking go sex nuts crazy on. You know what I'm saying there? So the moral of the story, kids, is knock it off with putting your fucking drugs inside there. Stop getting the fish all hooked on, like, methamphetamine. Yeah, you could probably go ahead and, like, get them all, like, drugged up and shit and sell them on the street and somehow get around that trafficking law that you've got going on there. Stop making them go into withdrawal. And whatever you do, stay the hell out of the water during wintertime over at freaking, Australia, where the snakes go get sex nuts crazy and try to fuck you while you're swimming around, because that's just fucking weird. You know what I'm saying? That's right, man. We don't want to be doing that. All right, I'm going to take a break here, and Ron will finally get his long-desired wish. We're going to go ahead and get into the Dick Cheese Hour. So, kids, let's ease into some Dick Cheese over here. Get out your smoking jackets. Get out your martinis, and let's listen to a few songs before we go into the Richard Cheese Hour here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. There seems to be an aggressive game of Go Fish going on right now, and who am I to go ahead and actually ruin that? I mean, we could just do a little bit more like mood music over here. I mean, actually, I think I've got just the right song for this. You know, Pig, that was fantastic. I'm glad that you're going ahead and getting the super weird dong pics from like Qua and letting everybody know. That's just fantastic. It made the show. What can I say? So let's see, what do we talk about today? Good question. Today's show was brought to you by the letter Q. No, I'm taking that back. So today we talked about the LP's fun with the strategic planning session diaries and the vocational error that I made because I should have been a human resources director because there's absolutely nothing to it. You just steal a few quotes from possibly plagiarized from like a few 19-year-old life coaches off of Instagram, put them on some fucking slides, and bang, next thing you know, wham, you've got an entire presentation done in about 5 minutes and nobody gives a shit anyways. Apparently now the National Archives has gone ahead and put a harmful language trigger warning on the U.S. Constitution on the National Archives website. So if you want to go ahead and be a racist and check out that U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and Bill of Rights, you might be offended, and we just want to go ahead and make sure to set that trigger warning out there. We won't even get into the safe spaces and all that shit that they've gone ahead and put up around the rotunda, but if you feel so compelled, please take a look at the link down below. Safe spaces were requested so people who can't handle words such as elderly, handicapped, and illegal alien be given an area where they can escape from some suffering of some panic attacks and shit like that. We talked about this terrible, terrible TV show, Motel Makeover, and all the, like, you know, fisting sculptures that were in it, and all kinds of stuff like that, because it's apparently an upscale motel that they'll charge you $500 per night in with a minimum 3-night stay without any happy ending. You'll just have an empty wallet. Then we talked about LP's fantastically wonderful adventure inside of Hobby Lobby, how disappointed I was because I was expecting to find packs of 200 foreskins from slain Philistines down the wedding aisle so then we can craft some beautiful scenes of genocide as performed by David and captured in the book of Samuel chapter 18, verse 27, when asking their fiancé's father for their daughter's hand in marriage. Nothing says love, nothing says commitment, quite like slain Philistine foreskins being delivered to a father. We talked about the Ark grounded by a flood of bureaucratic requests, and now apparently a replica of the Ark has been impounded over in England because they're a bunch of heathen bastards, soulless creatures, devoid of any sort of moral compass whatsoever. And then we discussed and actually talked about the construction company in Poland that decided to create a better asphalt, not one that's functionally better, but smells like flowers. Because floral aromas coming off of, like, melted bitumen, I mean, that to me captures the essence of what road work really should be. And from there, we went into the modern dating scene, and we went into the modern dating in four scenes, where we talked about the insane advertising that somebody put out for a breeding partner with their long list of demands. We then went and talked about how a horrified Tinder woman matches with a dude who decides to bring his dead mom's ashes over for their first date because what says romance and authenticity quite like, hey, let me go ahead and have mom eat some dinner with us and have a fucking urn of ashes sitting right there in some awkward sort of a way. And then, of course, we talked about the woman who got the infected earlobe because why have conventional sex when you can just have somebody go ahead and fuck your stretcher hole through your ear and infect the shit out of that? I mean, that's safe sex. And speaking of safe sex, you got to remember, guys, if you don't have a Jimmy hat to put on, if you got no rubber for yourself, just go to the hardware store, get a little epoxy rosin, seal that shit up, you know, one-time wonder. One application is protection for a lifetime. You know what I'm saying? That's the lesson we learned in that. And then we went on to talk about all the things we got to look out for to make sure that we protect ourselves from potentially being cheated on. Women with smaller breast sizes between a C and an AA have a 52% chance of cheating on their man. So ladies, we were watching. If we're staring at your boobs, it's not because they're captivating us. We're just evaluating you to make sure that you're going to be a faithful life partner. You know what I'm saying? We also discovered that women that purchase lingerie don't really do it for their man. Like 72% of them buy it for their boyfriend. We talked about the dude who was a bit of a gent, went ahead and laid the pipe to some dude's girlfriend, but then was kind enough to leave a note to let him know that his girlfriend was cheating on him. What a gentleman. What a gentleman in today's day and age. We also talked about the vindictive woman that decided to take an engineering nut and screw it on this other guy's dick. And you know what? We're going to have to stop with the recap there because guess what, kids? I'm out of time. I got to run. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Cultural Attaché to the Stars, all that sort of stuff. Want to thank everybody for coming out that came out. Thanks for going to do it. Thanks to everybody that's listening to the show online. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, holy shit, I'm running out of time. Always remember, why watch the show and you can be the show. Kids, checking out. I'll catch you next week. I'm LP Faust. Love you all. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.